This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The founder of this company 10 years ago was trying to sell his house. He's, you know, he's kind of an important guy. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond. And they are people that listen to the show. They are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Buck Sexton. The Blaze Radio Network.
Everybody, we're joined now by Charles Cook. He is the editor-in-chief of National Review Online. Charles, great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Charles, we've been talking a lot about it. We've hit on a couple of other things, too. But I wanted to get your sense of what went down last night at the RNC. Obviously, you're the guy running the show over at NRO. NRO has been very staunchly anti-Trump for quite a while now. What do you think about all this?
In hindsight, I suppose it was inevitable. I did raise an eyebrow when I saw that Ted Cruz had been given such a prominent speaking slot. The question was, how brave would he be? It seems quite brave. I dare say that speech, when on paper, could just about have passed as an endorsement or something close to it. But the way that Cruz delivered it, the places he chose to pause, the emphases he chose to make, made his view clear. He has plausible deniability this morning. He can say, look, I was just making my case. I always said I wouldn't endorse him. But there was an edge last night to what Cruz said, and it's an edge that didn't come from nowhere. It's an edge that is felt by many people, myself included, that Donald Trump is an imposter, that Donald Trump is not a conservative, that Donald Trump is going to lose to Hillary Clinton, and maybe deserves to lose to Hillary Clinton. I think it was extremely dramatic, and I suppose it was always going to be. There was always going to be something, and Ted Cruz delivered it rather than the delegates.
Now, with that in any way, Charles, trying to pose this question to you in a way that, and it's hard not to, without it sounding like anyone who was asked this question is being put in a position that's sort of unwinnable, and perhaps the tone of it, the implication can be kind of snide. But I ask you, in all good faith, for conservatives who feel that way, and by the way, I would not want to be on the other side of a debate where the question posed was, is Donald Trump a conservative? That's not a debate that I could win, nor is it one that I would want to have, because I don't think he is. But if taking all of this as true, and if what Ted did last night was brave, you know, obviously his detractors are saying that it was very calculated, and they're calling it selfish. But that's whatever. Neither here nor there to the question I'm about to ask you. Why shouldn't conservatives just come out and say we'd rather Hillary Clinton win at this point? I'm kind of missing that step.
Well, I think because they don't feel like that. I think the problem here is that many conservatives feel that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are unqualified for the office. I think many conservatives also feel that there is no guarantee that Trump will be better. Now, I think Trump has perhaps gone some way to assuaging those fears by choosing Mike Pence, and also by making it clear that his vice president, should he be elected, will have a lot of power. But this is a guy who told the New York Times yesterday that he would consider how the countries in NATO had treated the United States, or what contributions they'd made before coming to their aid. This is a guy who said yesterday that the United States should not be lecturing people around the world, should not be explaining the importance of freedom, because it has its own problems here at home, which is a line that we've typically heard either from the Soviets or from those who like to talk America down, for example, President Obama. And if you believe, as I do, that Donald Trump is a man of low character, that he's unpredictable, that he cares about very little except himself, it also seems possible that were he to make it to the White House, he would set conservatism and the right back for a generation. So the answer to your question is that I don't know. I don't know. This is an impossible position to be in. There is absolutely no circumstance in which I would support Hillary Clinton or vote for Hillary Clinton or advocate for Hillary Clinton or go out onto the street and speak favorably about Hillary Clinton. But it does seem to me that we have a huge problem because our alternative is a disaster.
I don't disagree with any of that. I that's why I feel like I'm trying to work through an impossible position here with a while keeping in mind that there are that there's going to be an election and someone's going to be the president and there are consequences to the decisions both made by people who have platforms and followings and are able to persuade many of their fellow citizens to vote one way or another, as well as each and every one of us as an individual. I don't want to divert from this too much, Charles, but I just also wanted to say I think it's interesting about all of the sort of gnashing of teeth or all of the sort of scary, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do about Trump with NATO? Which, by the way, his comments on NATO just come from somebody who I think doesn't really have an understanding of the purpose or history of NATO.
Which is a huge problem.
Right, which is a huge problem. But I just also think it's worth pointing out that, for example, with Ukraine, we were part of a binding agreement to defend Ukraine. It wasn't a NATO agreement, but we said we promised Ukrainians, hey, if you give up your nuclear weapons, we will defend you. And under this administration, they're like, well, I mean, that doesn't really mean we're going to defend you. So not quite as important or powerful.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. But of course, conservatives, including me and including you, pointed that out, slammed the Obama administration for it, and argued, I think correctly, that it's exactly that sort of abdication of responsibility that makes the world less safe. So although it is galling to watch progressives today slamming Trump, having praised Obama for his poise and his restraint and his thoughtfulness, I don't want us to enter into the same sort of hypocritical territory. Donald Trump may well not know what he's talking about, and that's probably better than his being calculated. But I still think that it's a big problem, and I think if I were an ally of the United States, not so much Britain or France, but if I were an ally, especially in Eastern Europe, where they're already worried by Brexit, which I supported, but they are worried that the one sane voice within the EU is going to retrench, then I would be a little alarmed hearing what I'm hearing from somebody who may be the next president of the United States. And I think conservatives should point that out.
Yeah, he does have his immediate reaction to any policy question from what I've seen, where he clearly doesn't have a depth of understanding, which is a lot of policy questions, if we're going to just be truthful about it. But the immediate reaction is always sort of retreat into a transactional view of all things. Right. What if they sort of a what have you done for me lately? Or, you know,
right.
You know, and that's not, especially on national security issues. That's not the way, you know, the American umbrella of military protection is not some sort of glorified mercenary army where, you know, if a country is paying enough into an alliance or if they're providing enough, we'll defend them. And if they don't, we won't. So, I mean, I think it's a completely fair criticism. I just think it's funny that many of the main media outlets that are posing this as, oh, my gosh, the NATO alliance, you know, the Western world is coming apart with Russia's egregious seizures of territory in Ukraine, its aggressions in Ukraine, its aggressions elsewhere as well, but specifically in a country that we had committed in writing to and put the U.S.'s good name behind that agreement. Obama administration is like, yeah, whatever, just a piece of paper. So, you know, I think it's funny. And you, we agree on that. And I don't need to get too much more into that. I just last night as I was reading some of the responses to that interview with it was, of course, a New York Times interview with Trump. I thought, wow, there's just the amount of gall, the cheekiness here. To borrow from your folks, Charles, the cheekiness is astonishing. But now we get to the point of what. So going into tonight, I mean, I sort of want to know, what about the argument that conservatives should be doing everything they can to try to shape Trump's both message and possible presidency as opposed to retreating from it? Is it just for you just too far gone? It's like telling somebody, you know, hey, you know, the patient's already, you know, the patient's already been sent to the, you know, is already finished with. We can't do anything for him, but let's just bring out the electrical paddles and try. I mean, what are we, you know, this campaign, is it just too far gone? Is that the argument?
I don't know. It does seem possible that he could be open to reason. It does seem possible that he could be advisable. It does seem possible that he could be prevailed upon. I said for a long time that it's extraordinary to me that Donald Trump came along and played the role that he has when he could have put forward a message. It wouldn't have been my message. It's not really my politics. But a message that would probably have won this election. If he had come along from the first instance and said, trade's fine, I am a businessman, I engage in trade, but it's really hurting people in Pennsylvania and Ohio. If he'd said, immigration's fine, I married an immigrant, of course I like immigrants, but blacks and Hispanics and poor whites are having their wages depressed by illegal immigration and unchecked immigration of low-skilled workers, we need to do something about it. If he'd said, I understand the need to be kind to people, but political correctness is stifling our culture, and so on and so forth. He could have been bombastic. He could have been brusque. He could have had an edge. But he wouldn't have been talking about Megyn Kelly in the way he did. He wouldn't have been saying Hispanics were rapists. He wouldn't have made the comments that he did about John McCain. He could have been a contender, to borrow a line from On the Waterfront. And unfortunately, he didn't do that. And what that says to me is that this isn't just about Donald Trump as a politician or as a thinker. Is that there is something about Donald Trump's character that is unstable and undesirable. And that's what worries me more than anything. Yes, he could sit down every day with Mike Pence, receive a great briefing, and come out and surprise us all. He could be articulate and responsible. But there's something about Donald Trump that seems off, and I can't get past that, I'm afraid.
So where does that leave you, if I may ask, Charles? Are you in – look, it is Ted Cruz's position that he still may endorse Donald Trump depending on what Trump does going forward. I believe that's his official camp. Cruz is not never Trump. He's not yet, and not unless things change dramatically. I think that's a kind of a fair approximation of his position. So for someone like you who's been very forthright and stated your principles and stuck to them this whole time on this issue – going in, are you in wait and see, or are you going to go and vote and decide that, you know, or you know, what? You're going to vote down ballot? What are you going to do?
Well, I should say, for full disclosure, I can't vote till next
year. Oh, I'm sorry. So I forgot. But
I think that has slightly informed me in that I can avoid having to make difficult decisions. So there's a note against myself. Were I able to vote, I would certainly vote Republican down ballot, especially this year. I think that I would really struggle to know what to do. I mean, obviously, there are circumstances in which I would change my mind and say, well, we'll just have to go with Donald Trump. But there are also circumstances in which I would do that for Hillary Clinton. If Hillary Clinton said, for example, the Second Amendment protects an individual right, abortion is bad, I don't like Obama's foreign policy, well, yeah, sure, I'd back her. That's unlikely to happen. And at the moment, I think it's unlikely that Trump is going to change enough. But of course, there are circumstances in which I would change my mind. If the facts change, so would I. At the moment, though, I think it's more of a threshold question. I don't think either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton come up to the threshold.
All right. Well, there we have it. Charles, when can we expect your next piece up on National Review?
Well, something will probably happen and irritate me, and I'll throw it up. I had a couple up yesterday, especially in the evening. The Massachusetts Attorney General unilaterally rewrote the state's gun control laws. So if you go to National Review and read about that, that will annoy you.
All right, I will do so. So let's all hope that something else annoys Charles so we can see him take an issue apart again soon. But Charles, Editor-in-Chief of National Review, Charles Cook, National Review Online, appreciate you giving us time. As always, Charles, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
More coming, team. Stay with me.
Rex Sexton, The Blaze Radio Network.
What's up, Team Buck? Have you ever tried a Casper mattress? They are incredible. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at an incredibly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and the perfect amount of bounce. Time magazine named it as one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. You get free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada, and you can try it free for 100 nights, risk-free, in your own home. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It's made right here in America. All you have to do is go to Casper.com/buck. That's www.casper.com/buck. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/buck. Terms and conditions apply. This is an incredible mattress at a fantastic price. You can get it now via this deal. Check it out.